This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast. Oh my gosh, so excited to have you on the podcast today. Can we just go back to how you and I met? Do you remember how we met by chance?
I thought I just went into your store. Like you were having a
studio. No. Okay. So you and I think a couple other influencers were doing makeup at this event. And I was there. I think it was like a business event. It was at an eyelash place. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I just remember like a couple. I remember a couple of girls being like, oh, those are influencers. And I had just started Lemon. And I was like, oh, I should connect with them and see if they want to do collabs. And that's kind of like, we like loosely met that night. And then I reached out to you and you actually were the first influencer that agreed to do collabs with Lemon. Isn't that great? I know, you were amazing. Well, and it was funny because Lemon was so new and we were just getting ready to open the first brick and mortar. So like no one gave me any attention, no influencers, not even brands. Like brands were like, who are you? Like, go away. And you were so kind. You agreed. We did a couple stuff together and then the store opened. And I think we did a little bit more stuff when the store opened.
We did a few more things because I think you had some other things and I did some other, like, I remember like there was like this really cute Valentine's tank one year. I don't know. We did a bunch. And then I still actually, there's this one t-shirt that says like, don't talk to there. I don't know. I have this one t-shirt and I still wear it to this day. It's like probably 8 years old, but it's one of my favorite t-shirts.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Yeah. I love, and it's so funny because sometimes I'll wear like OG Lemon stuff and people will be like, oh my gosh, where's that from? I'm like Lemon circa 2017. Like that's so old.
I have these one joggers. It was the first jogger sweatpants I ever bought. And they are like they have like rips and stuff through them. And every time I wear them, everyone is always like, I love those. Where did you get those? I'm like, well, I don't think they're available
500 years ago.
They're like 8 years old.
It's so funny because I still have those sweatpants too. They were Spiritual Gangster.
Yes.
They were white, right?
Or white, like kind of a creamy, kind of like this color. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I know. You have always have the best stuff in the store.
So sweet. No, but I just want you to know, like, it's always like stuck with me that you were like the first influencer that like cared to respond to me and like do anything with me. So thank you so much. You're just such a sweetheart. And it just definitely shows your personality, your character, and you know, all the things. Cause you already had a good amount of followers back then too. You were doing your thing with your makeup and your videos. And so yeah, you didn't need to give me the time of day. So thank you. And
of
all
course,
these years later now, well, okay. So also you were in California then. So tell us your background. Cause you're not from California. Where are you from, your background, and then how did you guys end up in California?
Mm-hmm. So I'm originally from Kansas City, born and raised here. I went away to college for a few years. I went to the University of Arkansas, but then ended up back here. And my first degree is actually advertising and public relations. So I did that for several years. And then fast forward to like 2015, my husband and I, we had an 18-month-old. I was pregnant with our second, and he was in tech and had been working with a startup here in Kansas City and got a job offer there. Anyway, it ended up staying with the company that he was here in Kansas City with, but they said, you can work remotely because we have a developer in Oakland. And then his other developers were in Belarus. So the time difference actually worked really well for him. So he could have 11 p.m. meetings rather than 1 a.m. meetings. And so we ended up moving out there. We lived there for a little over 3 years. And since I had gone back at some point and gotten my nursing degree, I just took travel contract assignments. I worked at San Francisco General and John Muir out there and loved it. I bought Tooth and Nail not to leave California. But after about 3 years, James was kind of out of tech. He was like, I'm just over the 24/7 nonstop. And my dad's a CPA. I'm going to take his business over. So I'm going to go get my CPA.
Oh, wow.
So we moved back to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So that was why we kind of moved back. And so, my agreement was I don't have to work in the hospital if we're moving back. So I just was injecting part-time and blogging, doing the makeup full-time, as well. And then COVID happened. And then when COVID happened, I ended up going back to work. I went to an outpatient clinic, but then I decided to go back and get my nurse practitioner. And then got divorced, and now I'm a single mom and just trying to, you know, live my life over here, starting over and trying to kill the game.
Oh my gosh. You just said like so many things. That's like wild. Hold on. So what year did you move back?
December of 2018.
Oh, okay. So you missed the whole COVID crazy. Lucky you.
Yeah. 'Cause
that was horrible.
Yeah.
It was like a nightmare.
We literally moved back December of 18, had a whole year here in Kansas City, and then COVID happened. So yeah, we were fortunate enough to like kind of get out prior to that.
Yeah. The Bay Area was nuts. I mean, I still feel like I have PTSD. Like it was horrible because we moved here December of 2020. So we were there for all of 2020.
The like height of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was going back for Lemon. So yeah, it was a nightmare. What originally made you get into the influencing side of it? Because you had your career. Mm-hmm. What made you take this on as extra?
I think because like I had gone back and got my nursing degree. So I was only working 3 days a week, you know, three 12-hour shifts. And I had 4 days off. And this was like, I think Aria, my oldest, was like a year old. And I remember my husband was like, I feel like you need a hobby or something. Like, you know, you keep the house clean, you do all this stuff, but like you need a hobby. And so that was like right when Instagram and influencers and stuff like really started to like peak. And I was like, well, and I had a shopping addiction. Like I love to shop and I had all of these things. And I was looking at on Instagram kind of scrolling and I was like, all these girls are doing is sharing like their Tory Burch shoes and their bags and whatever. And I'm like, well, I have all that. So I, and since James knew a lot about tech stuff, he helped me set up my website and I just kind of figured it out and just started because it was just something like I was in scrubs all the time, but I was also a new mom. And it's like, I just needed something like fun to do and something to like actually wear these things that I'm buying because we're not really going on dates yet. Because she was not even like a year old, you know? So it's like, we're kind of just trying to figure that balance. And I just needed something to give me to get my mind moving. 'Cause I have that degree in advertising and public relations. And it's like, I wanted to like utilize that part of my brain.
Yeah. And did you initially know you also wanted to do the makeup stuff or did that come later? 'Cause I know you do a lot of makeup. Yeah.
That came later when I lived in California and I met Letitia, Springer. I don't know if do you still follow her?
She was at the event and that's how I met her also. Yeah.
So I met her because our girls were in gymnastics together and then she kind of hosted one of those makeup parties, her and Shannon. I don't know if you remember Shannon Willardson.
I don't know Shannon.
And she kind of did my makeup and I was like, oh yeah, I like it. And I kind of thought about it. And then she did it again, like a couple weeks later. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to buy it. I kind of like it. It was kind of the whole highlighting and contouring, like when that was like first coming, like big and Kim K was doing all of that. And then I was kind of looking at the price of just buying a compact versus like just buying the artist kit. And it was like $100 difference. And I was like, you know, I'm going to buy it and I'm already sharing content, I might as well just kind of mix it in and just kind of casually bring that in. And that's kind of how I got into the makeup.
Yeah. I think that's also what makes it interesting to follow you is you kind of just show whatever you're into. So like you got into makeup, you were showing it. And now obviously you talk a lot about being a single mom and you got into a lot of like fitness and health stuff and like all, you just kind of go with it. It's more natural. It's more organic. And I think a lot of people were more drawn to that now I mean, have you noticed with Instagram the change from when you started? It was all about like buy my purse, buy my shoes, buy my shirt, to now I think people, we want more. I don't know what the more is, but do you see that shift and how do you
I
handle
do.
it?
I think people want to feel like, at least for me, like when I'm looking at content, and this is kind of how I have changed over like the last 8 or 9 years that I've been doing Instagram and vlogging and stuff like that, is that like I kind of think about what is it that I need? Like, what am I looking for? And then like that's how I try to find my people. Cause it's like if I'm needing this, there's gotta be somebody else needing it. And I know like when I was doing fashion and stuff a lot more, like there's just kind of this dark side of fashion influencing that I started to learn about. And I was like, you know what? I can't keep up with the Joneses. Like I can't keep buying all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm not going to be a return, a buy shoot return.
Yeah. What do you mean by like the dark side?
A lot of the fashion influencers, they, yeah, I learned that how they are having all of these clothes and stuff like that is, yes, they'll get some sent to them for free or whatever, but the majority of them go to a store, buy it, come home, shoot it and film it, pretend like they're doing things in it. And then they go back and they'll return it. They'll spend thousands of dollars and then just return it. But when you're somebody watching it, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, like how do they keep doing all this? How do they afford it?
How do they have like so many cute outfits all the time? Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what? I don't identify with that. That's not me. Like, I just can't do this because I just feel so inauthentic. I feel like it's so fake. And so then I just started transitioning into more like, I've had this shirt for 3 years. Let's style it or something, you know, because that's what real life is. And then just like, as my life has changed, as my kids have gotten older, or, you know, like I've been going through emotional roller coasters here and there. And it's just like, I've just been kind of drawn to like share more of that, because like when I was going through my divorce, like I didn't really know anybody that was divorced. I mean, my sister, but she got divorced like a long time ago and hers was very different than mine, but that was it. Like all of my girls' friends' parents are still married and all this. So I was just like, I didn't have anybody. So I was kind of navigating that whole thing by myself and this emotional roller coaster. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like I want to share this because I feel so alone in this divorce.
Yeah.
And in mine was like pleasant. Took 6 months. We are still best friends. We still like have dinners together. Like, I mean, mine was very pleasant, but you still have this like failure, the sadness but like relief, like, but all this stuff. And it's just like, I feel like there's gotta be other people that feel like this.
For sure. Have you ever listened to Bethany Frankel's podcast?
I've listened to a little clips here and there.
Okay, yeah. She's kind of like all over the place. I kind of like listening to her, but she's like kind of crazy all over the place.
Yeah.
But she had one episode where she was talking about how someone was interviewing Giselle and she, you know, Tom Brady's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, the hardest part was that the divorce was the death of a dream. And Bethany's like, nothing could be more true than that statement or more raw, because you have romanticized this life with this person and you have imagined everything with this person, from travel to important moments, birthdays, whatever. And then you have to come to the conclusion that that's not happening. Isn't that, it's just like,
that is actually so true. And it actually took me 2 years to get there. And that was what started my running journey. You know, like April 30th will be my 4-year running streak. Like, I haven't missed a day. But like what happened was back in April of 2020, I was just like, well, I wanted to get back into shape because I was an athlete my whole life. And I was just like, I need to get back to it. So I started with a mile every day for a week and then added another week and then so on. But like, I found that that was my time to process all my thoughts, all my feelings. And I started navigating those thoughts of like, okay, if I get divorced, can I afford it? If I get divorced, where am I going to live? If I get divorced, and I just started every day, I started just like processing it. And like, there were times I was on my run and I was just bawling because it's just like you said, that death of that dream of like, oh my gosh, like now we're going to do this or there's that. And you do have that. And it's such an emotional thing. And then you have to, and then you actually have to like get that strength to go have that conversation with your husband, you know?
For sure. Was there a moment that you knew it was over, or was it like a little bit through a long period of time? Like, how do you come to that conclusion?
I think it was just a little bit over a long time. Like, I love James to death. Like, we are, like I said, we are still very good friends, but I think it just got to a point where we both just realized, like, we're just co-parenting and we're just kind of have lost that little like spark, you know, we're just not, we're just kind of missing something. And so we did do some couples therapy and stuff. And I think during that time was the moment where it really hit me that this wasn't like, this was over, because I was participating, but I wasn't an active participant, you know, like I felt like I had already processed all of these emotions and stuff. And he probably hadn't, because we hadn't discussed it or anything like that. But I had already been like a year and a half into my running journey and like processing all this. And so that was kind of when I realized that, okay, you know, if I'm just not into this and I'm just not willing to like give more because I'm just emotionally separated from this, then, you know, that was kind of my moment.
Yeah. I heard this thing recently where when women say they're done, they've been done for a long time. Like they've already gone through all of the thinking, processing, all of it, where men kind of function differently. So that's so interesting.
That's true. I've seen that. I saw that probably, I think during that time when I was processing, and I just remember like identifying with that. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is how I feel. Like, I feel like I've just emotionally like given it everything I've gotten over the last year, year and a half, and there's just nothing left. Whereas men can kind of like, I don't know, they're either in it or they're not. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem to be different. I couldn't put my finger on it either. What was the scariest part of getting divorced for you? Maybe aside from the kids, because I would think as a mother, that would be the focus of, oh my gosh, what about the kids? Are the kids going to be okay? And the schedule and all that. But aside from that, what was your scariest fear?
I think probably just kind of navigating like the financial situation, and just know, like kind of wondering like, can I even afford this? Like, cause my lifestyle, like I just wanted to like maintain somewhat of a normal lifestyle, not necessarily just for me, but primarily for my kids, because, you know, I mean, there's things that are so different from both sides. And it's just like, am I going to be able to do this? Like, am I going to be able to support myself, support my kids, their activities? And I mean, that's scary. And then just like, just knowing that, like, when I'm home by myself with the kids, like, it's just me. Like, am I emotionally and like physically going to be able to upkeep a house, maintain my full-time job, and then afford to do all of these different things? Like, will I be able to take them on a trip? Will I be able to do this? And it's just like, I think that is probably the thing that was the thing that kind of held me back the most, like for like why it took me so long to get there, because, you know, you're so codependent on like a dual income. And then you're kind of looking at what's my individual income. And I'm like, well, I'm a hustler. Like, I do this and I can do that. I can always make money somehow. Right. I can figure it out. So, so that was just kind of like what gave me my boost, you know, but even now it's still stressful. It's still scary. And it's still, you know, because as the kids get older, and I mean, now it's like, I need name brand this and name brand that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're killing me.
It is such a thing now. Did you also feel like there were things that he did that you had to learn how to do? Like, there are things my husband does that I don't even know how to do. Like, if you told me to mow the lawn right now, I wouldn't even know how to turn the thing on. Like, there's no way.
I hate to say this, not really, because I was definitely more of a misfix it, and he was definitely more of a hire out kind of person.
Okay,
he did mow the lawn and did all, he upkept all of that stuff. But I grew up mowing the lawn at my parents' house, like, because I would go out in my like little shorts and my swimsuit top, and that's how I would tan. I'd go mow the lawn and get a little exercise.
I love it.
And I still do that. I still got a swimsuit top. I get like a sports bra and some shorts, and I get my headphones on. And now like lawn care is like my piece. Like, it takes me about an hour and 15 minutes to do my lawn care, like to mow it. And I like get really into it. I edge it. I had to learn that. I did watch a couple of videos on that. But like, there have been some times where it's like a toilet wasn't working, or like there's been a few things here or there. But luckily, that's what my brother does for a living. There you go. My brother remodels
around you, and you're back at home. Yeah. Yeah, that helps.
So I have a lot of support, and I know not everybody. I think that's also scary for a lot of women to like, when they're navigating that divorce, it's like, do I have a support system? And a lot of women don't. And that's, you know, and so it's kind of like trying to navigate finding a support system, whether it's neighbors or finding a single mom group or, you know, something that you can kind of help and go to, because that support is like unwavering. Like, you have to have it, single or not, you know, whether, I mean, as a parent and, or even just as an adult, as a human, we naturally need support and encouragement and
Help. Agree. I think just those connections in real life are so important. So you said you were starting to run, and that was where you were able to do a lot of like your thinking and your have your own time, and you really wanted to focus on your health again. What made you kind of take the next step and get the personal trainer? You've documented all of this on Instagram, which has been, by the way, really fun to watch.
Oh, thanks.
What, like, there's so many ways to go about fitness. What made you go the personal training route?
Well, first off, I knew I was going to get back into the dating scene.
Yeah, you're like, I gotta get this body tight.
I was like, and not that I was ever like, I was never like super overweight or unfit by any means, because I at this point I'd already been running almost 3 years, and so, and I ran a marathon in that time, and you know, so it's not like I was super unfit, but it's like I just needed some toning and some, I just wanted help. And like, I can push myself running. Like, I can look at the time or the distance and say, it's only like 3 more minutes till the next mile, or, and I can just keep going. But like, when it comes to weights and stuff like that, when it starts to burn, I want to be done. So it's like, I knew I needed help with somebody to push me. And I have worked with a personal trainer in the past, but Luther, is amazing. He's actually like a really high profile trainer here. And we had connected several years ago, like at an influencer event and stuff like that, and met him. And I just love his energy. Like, he kind of has like, I don't care what other people think about me kind of energy. He makes it super fun, but he pushes you. And, you know, and he has a lot of, and I just trusted him because he works with a lot of the Chiefs players. He works with our Sporting KC guys. Like, he works with some MMA fighters, but then he also has a very large, like high school athlete population that he works with. And so I just knew that like, if I wanted to get to where I wanted to be, like, he was going to be my guy. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I can really only afford like once a week or something like that. So let's kind of maximize our time for total body, and then give me some things that I can do at home. And so, and then we just kind of text, and we've just kind of kept in touch that way. And then now it's just like, I go in and he pushes me to go heavier. He's like, he was like, none of this Instagram stuff, Callie, get the weights on. He's like, this isn't for show. This was to like, and I'm just, and like, so he holds me accountable.
Yeah. And your results are amazing. I mean, you always looked great. And like you said, you know, you were always like, you know, kind of in shape. It was never like, whoa, you need to figure this out. But you can definitely see that you have slimmed down, you've toned up. Like you said, you're still doing your running. I can't believe you run every single day.
Every day.
How far do you go?
Depends on the day, but in order to keep my streak, it's a minimum of a mile.
Okay. So you have to do like 1 mile. You're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when it's for like in the winter, because I run outside. I've been running, I've had a little more access to a treadmill this year because my boyfriend has a treadmill. And so, and I have made a neighbor friend that has a treadmill like a couple streets down. But I actually love running when it's really cold. I mean, I don't run very long, but like 10 minutes. I'm like, my normal mile time is anywhere between 9:40, but I really try to just get at least 10 minutes. And I just tell myself I can do anything for 10 minutes.
Totally.
So, so even when it's like, when we had some negative 22s degrees, like this last winter and stuff, I was outside running. I had like a rechargeable hand warmer. And part of it is just like, so it's a commitment to myself. I feel like if we can't maintain the commitments and the things that we keep to ourselves, how is anybody else going to going to be able to depend on us and rely on us. So it's like kind of starting with me, starting with myself, and then that way I can share that with others.
Yeah. What has been the hardest part of your health journey? I'm guessing you also changed what you're eating and other things.
I did. And I think that's probably the hardest. I think the diet, that like the food part of it is the hardest part. And I think it's because my kids are so picky. Like they, like if we go to eat out, it's like, they want Chick-fil-A, they want Freddy's, or like, it's always like fried chicken and mac and cheese. And so like trying to navigate how to cook for myself at home, but then also manage what they're eating. So it's like, I cook three different things every night because they eat nothing. And so, and then I think the other thing that was really, I also like hate to be wasteful, but I learned like, quit snacking on the girls' leftovers. Like that actually was huge. Like, it's like, oh, you have like a chicken tender left, I'll eat that on top of what I already ate, you know, because I just hate to be wasteful.
Totally.
And so, but I like, that was a really big mental shift for me. So I think just stop snacking on their stuff was like a huge, like great place to start. And then just sort of, and then actually last summer, I, for a while, I did those Factor meals. I did the high protein Factor delivery service. Which the food was really good, but that also helped me understand a little more about getting back into just high protein, more veggies, and kind of seeing how their portions were, just to kind of help navigate my own portions when I cook at home. Because I've struggled with eating stuff like my whole life, that I, that as long as I can remember. And so, but trying to do it in a healthy way and a balanced way, that's not, like falling back into old patterns, like in my teens and 20s, you know?
Yeah. So. I think you're right. And also with the snacking as a mom, then at the end of the day, you don't know how much you ate, because you're eating your own food, you're eating some of their food, there's some leftovers in the pot. And it's like, sometimes I eat standing up and I'm like, I don't even know what I ate, because I didn't even sit down. I didn't relax. I didn't make a plate for myself. And you're right, that's the worst. And also for me,
I think that's one of the biggest shifts.
For sure. And for me, like, I have three boys and my husband. So sometimes I have to remind myself that I don't need to eat like them. Like, they're boys, like they're going to eat more. They might even have more protein than me. And I have to just go off my body and not try to keep up with them, because I'm always going to lose if I try to do that.
Oh, I agree. Especially like being around boys, because boys are just like on a whole another level, especially like kind of like starting to get where your boys are, like in their ages, because they're starting, like my nephew is like, my nephew's 11. Yeah. And like, just like the, like he'll consume this amount of food and then it'll be like 30 minutes later, I'm hungry again. I'm just like,
totally.
What? And it's like, excuse me?
I know, it's wild. They're just like, they could just keep going. And obviously if I did that, I would be 300 pounds. So they have to not pay attention. I'm like, I'm not them. Like, they have to do their thing. That's so true. What also was the hardest part for you of becoming a single mom?
I think just balance, trying to balance work, as well as like balancing time with my kids, balancing my little side work projects, and then really self-care, and then trying to navigate getting back into dating and like kind of, you know, when do I go on dates? When do I do this? And when do I do that? How do I fit it all in? And I think that's was the hardest shift, because I didn't have somebody that could, you know, be sure to take the trash out, or kind of do this, or do the dishes. Like, I'm cooking, but somebody else, like, that's what we always did. Whoever cooked, the other did the dishes. And so just like being able to like handle all of that while also trying to be a mom and be engaged and be present, as well as, you know, navigating conversations on a dating app and setting up dates, but then also, and then like all of last year, or actually the last 2 years, you know, balancing nurse practitioner school, balancing my career, and like all of that. So trying to find balance. And I think what I learned the most is we're all busy. You know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I've just been so busy, I haven't been able to do this. That's everybody. It's not just me and it's not just you. We're all busy. We all have a million things on our plate. But what I've learned is, it's what am I prioritizing? Like, if I'm not prioritizing, then it's not really that important. Maybe I should figure out how to either reprioritize it if I'm like, oh, I really should be into that, or just drop it off my plate and learn to not commit to things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like a big believer in, we have time for the things that we want to have time for.
It's so true. And making priorities. What do you use to stay organized so that you don't lose your mind? Like, what's your
calendar? I am a pen to paper kind of gal.
So am I.
A written calendar. I also utilize my phone calendar, like if I know I need alerts. But like I do handwritten to-do lists. And with boxes, I'm also an Enneagram 3. So that to-do list is like necessary. Like I have to see it and I have to like be able to check it.
No, I'm the same. It's so satisfying.
It is.
I don't know if you do this. I make a to-do list and then I make a to-do list for big, like if like, let's say one thing on my to-do list is a bigger project, I'll make another to-do list for that project. Because
you
obviously-
can probably- Mm-hmm. Walk around my house and you can find
that
a
off.
Million sheets of to-do list everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's like a to-do
everywhere.
List for the to-do list.
But they say like pen to paper, your brain works differently. So it's actually really important that we're still doing that, because so many people are like exclusively digital. And obviously we need our phones, we need the phone calendar, whatever, but I'm with you, like the pen to paper, like I literally have notes in front of me, pen to paper. And it's like, that's just my thing also.
I have to see it. If I don't see it, like there's just something about thinking it, writing it, and seeing it and coming back to it that I just remember it better. It's like, we've got so much stuff going on. We've got so many things floating. I mean, like you're a business owner, so you know, like we've got all these business things going on in our head, but then you've got over here, you've got all your mom things over here. You've got all your house things over here. You've got your relationship that you're trying to prioritize. And it's like, how do I like fit it all in? So if I can take my business stuff or like my house stuff and write it down, then I don't have to think about it. And then
totally.
I can think about the other stuff in an emotional capacity and not be like everywhere.
That's actually what they say. Right when you're trying to go to bed, if your mind is running, write it all down so that A, you don't forget anything, but you can also feel like you've unloaded it and you can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it totally makes sense.
I need to start doing that. I think it was one of your podcasts or a previous one that I listened to where it's like, do you do yours at the end of the day for the next day?
Yeah. I was just going to say that I plan my day.
I'm more like a wake up and do it, but I think I want to start trying to do it more at the end of the day. Yeah. And that way I can just get up and go.
I also feel like I have to do it the day before so I can communicate with Justin and be like, okay, this is my plan tomorrow. So I want to make sure you're going to be home for when the bus gets home, because I'm not going to be here, or like whatever. I have to like the logistics of it. But yeah, it calms my brain. I can just put it away, and then also try color coding it. So you can mark everything for work one color, everything for the kids. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you can look at your week and go, I did no self-care, you know, like for example, like where's my pink? There's no pink, or whatever your color is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love it.
I like that. I love that. I'm a color coder. It's usually just more like work, kids, me, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I tell people to do like self-care, a different color, and fun. Like we usually don't think about fun as adults, but like you need to have some fun and, you know, separate. And then like, even like relaxation could be different than self-care, where like you taking a nap is going to be different than like going to your hair appointment. So it's like, I try to mark those separate too. So yeah, you can get very granular with it if you really want.
You're like really high tech on that.
I know. I'm a little OCD about it, but I swear it makes my life function. Like
whatever makes you feel at peace and like you feel like you're going to peak and be at your best. I think that's the most important thing. Cause like, that's really what we're all striving to do, right? We all need to be at our best when we need to be at our best. And it's like whatever helps you stay organized to visualize it. Cause you have to visualize it ahead of time. Cause if you're not visualizing it, you're not seeing it, then they say it's harder for you to get there. So like whatever gets you to be at that peak, do it.
100%. So through this process of everything from your divorce, your health journey, moving across country, like all your big changes, what has surprised you the most?
What has surprised me the most? I think, well, it's not really like a surprise thing, but I always like, there's just this little mom guilt in me that to say this out loud, but like how much having time to myself was so important. Like, I mean, we're so busy working, being a mom, doing all this stuff. And like the first time or two, I had a night at home by myself to just binge a show or do something, like whatever, do anything, like actually do nothing, like lay there and do nothing and not have to think about lunches in the morning or this or that, like how much at peace I felt and how much I, when I did have my girls, like how much of a better mom I was. Like I realized that, like, I think that like a lot of self-reflecting that I've done over the last, you know, 3 years, since separating and divorcing and all that, was like, I didn't spend enough time on me. So I would, therefore that's where I got a little emotionally burned out, grew in a separate direction. You know, as my husband was, that I don't think that I spend enough time trying to like fulfill myself so I could be better for them. And I've learned that having, like, that's just so important to have a little bit of time for yourself, because in turn, then you're not thinking about all these other things. You're not spiraling because you've had that moment to step back, reflect, relax, and now you can go again. So true. I think that was really surprising for me. And I always hate to kind of say that out loud. And it's definitely not a reason to get divorced by any means, but truly prioritizing that self-care, you know, and not to feel guilty. Like, you know, if you are married and listening to this, don't feel guilty going to Target by yourself. Like I used to feel guilty and would run back because I would, you know, be like, oh my gosh, there, he's going to be home. And it's like, it's their dad. He's fine. Like he can do it. And like, I just never like took that time to do things like that, or go schedule a happy hour with girlfriends, schedule a dinner, schedule a night out. Like I just didn't do that. And I've learned that doing those things has actually made me a better mom, because I'm more engaged with my girls when I'm with them, because I'm not thinking about all this other stuff.
Yeah. You were probably just so burnt out and you didn't even know it. Just go, go, go. And then when you had that moment alone, you were like, whoa, that's.
I know. It's, well, and like, I did a lot of learning about like the Enneagrams, and I'm like a huge proponent in that because it's all about our motivations.
Yeah.
And like, I like spent a ton of time researching my number. Like I said, I'm a 3, and 3 is all about achievement.
I need to redo that test because I did it a long time ago. I don't even remember what I was, but now I'm curious.
I'll send you the link to the ones that I did.
Yeah.
Because, but just learning that like, it is okay to rest. Like I learned that like 3s don't take time to rest because they feel like they're falling behind or they're going to lose or they're going to like fail or all this stuff. And so I've learned that like, you do all these other things. Like I learned that like when I was something was unhappy in my life, like I went on a shopping bender because I was trying to like fulfill something that I wasn't getting in some part of my life. So now I've learned when I start to do these things, like let's take a break. Let's reflect, like what is going on in my life that's causing me to, you know, keep going, saying yes. What am I avoiding? You know, what am I trying to like not attend to emotionally? Because me and feelings, like we've never really been
and
friends.
Most people are like that. We don't want to tap into our feelings. I used to do this with food. When the kids were little and they would go to bed, I would grab all the snacks, get in bed. I would just eat and binge watch TV. And finally I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is like self-sabotage, but it was like, same thing. I was burnt out. I was exhausted. I didn't want to tap into my emotions of like being overwhelmed, that I was like, I'm just going to eat. Like,
well, it's just like, I can handle it. I'm not overwhelmed. I can do it. I just got to figure out, we'll put it on my to-do list. Let's kind of figure. And it's just like, I can do this. I don't need help. I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
And I learned that like, it's okay to ask for help. Like, you can have somebody help you, and it doesn't mean that you're any less strong. It doesn't mean that you're any less capable. It's just, you actually, it's more, I think I've learned that it's more strength and more vulnerable to actually ask somebody to help you than to just keep piling it all on. And then you're just like, oh my gosh, now what, you know?
Yeah. So true. Through this process, when you look back, do you have any regrets on anything? Do you wish you handled anything differently?
You know, I, no, not necessarily. I mean, sure. I mean, there are things that you kind of think about and you're like, yeah, I probably should have spent more time on this or here or there. But like, I try not to think about that. I try to think about, you know, I learned really early on, because like when I was in high school, my dad passed away suddenly. And I just learned that things are meant to be the way they're meant to be. Like, at the time, you don't understand it. You don't understand what, why these things happen. But like, as you get older, and as you start facing these different things, you start saying, okay, you know what? I understand that was preparing me for B. And then these things here were preparing me for C. And like, all of these different things, you're looking, I try to think of all of those things as individual stairs that are eventually going to get me to the top of that mountain where I want to go. These are all challenges. These are all things that, you know, because you always have a choice, right? And is by thinking, what if I made that choice instead? You're going to send yourself down a rabbit hole. And then emotionally, and you know, that's just not productive. And so I try not to think of it in things like that. I just more like, okay, like, I made the choice here. So next time when I'm kind of in a situation very similar, how am I going to handle it? What, how should I approach that? Should I approach it like this or this? Or actually, I did it this way and that worked out, but maybe I want to try this. You know, I just try to like learn from it and try not to regret the things that I, the choices that I've made, you know?
Yeah, I love that. What advice do you have for someone that is maybe at the beginning of divorce or starting a health journey or any big changes like that?
I think my biggest advice is start with, try to start with one thing at a time. Like, don't do it all at once, you know, start small and know that you're going to fail from time to time, and that's okay. You know, you're going to take a couple steps forward. You might take a step back, but don't stay on that step back very long. Like reflect on why that step back is happening or why you're kind of spiraling back, and then, but keep going. Like, don't give up. Don't give up just because something didn't work out the way that you like imagined it would. You know, just because, I've kind of really decided that just because my marriage didn't work out and now I'm kind of in this, I'm divorced, I'm a single mom, doesn't mean that my life is over. It's just like, okay, I have a chance to do something new. I have a new beginning, a new start. How am I going to take advantage of where I'm at with this opportunity? You know, like, it doesn't have to be a failure. It doesn't have to be something negative. It can be a positive. You just have to kind of navigate through your feelings. And I think the other thing is, like, if you're kind of on this journey of potentially getting divorced or even not, you really want to work it through. Think about not what the other person is doing. It's not about what they did, what they said. It's about what was your part in that and really reflecting on your personal part of that. So then that way you can kind of understand and kind of forgive and all of those emotions and navigate how you can be better, because you're never going to change somebody else. You're just not. Mm-hmm. So really navigate and start small and just start within. I think that's kind of the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I also feel like we change a lot throughout chapters in life. I actually had a psychologist on, and we were talking about this, how when we become empty nesters, it's like, who are we? But we also go through that when we have a baby. We also go through that when our kids go to school. We all, you know, so it's like just being able to sit in the moment and go, okay, who am I today? What do I want today? Where do I want to go? Maybe that's might be completely different than who I was 5 years ago. And that's
100%
fine. It's just hard. It's hard for us. Change is hard, whether it's positive or negative change. It's so hard.
Change is, I mean, because we're just habitual creatures, right? Like, we like our habits. We like our things. I mean, you have like those Enneagram sevens that are just on for the whim. Like, let's go, let's just go for the good time. But the majority of people need a plan, need something consistent. And when that kind of starts to crumble or break apart, were like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? But then after that change happens and you navigate it, you're like, actually, that was a really good, that was good. Like, this
that
is
was
working.
good. Yeah.
You know, and so it's a constant, it's just a constant, you know, cycle that we're always going through. And it's just not staying in the down spirals too long. Like, that's the biggest key, is try not to stay in that part and just think about, what's my next move?
Yeah, for sure. You're doing all the things. What's next for you?
What's next for me? Well,
big question. I don't know.
Well, I actually just wrote a little ebook that I'm going to start. I'm just kind of navigating the like online piece of it, on kind of starting your healing journey post-divorce.
So wait, what's an ebook versus a book?
I mean, it's like a digital download, so you can't like order an actual book. So, and it's not super long, and it has some steps in there, like on how to journal, and so you can kind of reflect on your own feelings, how to find single mom groups in your community. And I am a firm believer in having hobbies. Like, as a woman, have a hobby. Like, I golf. Like, I love to golf, and I have my running journey. And so, like, kind of like how to navigate a journey, like a hobby, and just kind of where to start, how to process your feelings, how to get through that. Those first few months when you feel so defeated. So I've got that I've been working on and kind of navigating. And then as an injector, I am learning to be like a trainer, to train new nurses to inject Botox fillers, that kind of stuff.
But we didn't even talk about that. So you do like aesthetic work aside from your, do you work at a hospital?
I do for 3 more weeks. And then three more weeks.
Okay,
and then
so
I,
too. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. And then I got a job as a nurse practitioner in chronic pain management, because I love chronic pain. And so I will do that 3 days a week and then inject 3 days a week.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, you see, you've got a lot of things going on.
I know.
So
and then I've been dating, and I have a boyfriend. And so we're just kind of navigating that. He's now met both of my girls. And we will eventually I'll meet his kids. And just kind of navigating that.
Oh my God, how many kids does he have?
Two.
Okay.
They're a little bit older. They're like teen, 12 and 15. So So I'm nervous as all get out, but you know, he does amazing with my girls. Like, my girls love him, and I'm just like, it is the sweetest thing. Like, we went and got ice cream last night, and I was paying, and he was just over there having like ice cream chit chat conversation. It was just the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
So just kind of navigating like that kind of, you know, blended families. Are we going to travel together? How are we going to introduce our kids at some point, and like kind of doing that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited for you, and like so many cool things coming up for you and that you've been already doing. Where can everyone follow you if they want to follow your journey, your fitness, all the things?
Yeah. Like we said, primarily I'm on Instagram, and it's at Callie Flexman, KalLieFlexman. And that's where I primarily put everything. I do have TikTok. Everything is just Callie Flexman. YouTube, which I haven't posted as much anymore. I used to, but I'm working on it now that my girls are into the shorts. They're teaching me TikTok dances, all the things. But I would say primarily just Instagram is good. But if you're on Facebook, I actually share a lot on Facebook, and it's Callie Flexman. And then eventually I'm going to start blogging again. I just haven't.
I know there's so many, we were talking about this before we got on, like so many platforms, like I can't get myself to go on TikTok, even though I probably should for the business. I just wish everything was in one place. Like, why can't we all just agree?
I know. But, you know, they all, I mean, even though they all now are starting to kind of shift into the same type of of, you know, content. They are all very different. Like if, when I go on TikTok, like it is very casual. Like it's amazing how casual it is. Like it's like, whereas Instagram, I think Instagram is starting to get this way, kind of like what we were talking about, how we're starting to share more like I'm cleaning or these like vlog kind of things where it's just less curated, which I love. Like I want to see what everybody does in a day because it's like, how does that compare to what I do? Am I doing? And then I'm like, am I doing enough? I'm not doing enough. And then you get in this spiral, but then I'm like, take a step back.
It's so true. I love, like, the more real people are on Instagram, the more I'm interested. And some of the ones that are just too perfect or, you know, you can tell it's set up, I'm kind of over it. And the ones that are just trying to sell me junk on Amazon, like I'm completely done. Like I just, I can't do it.
I you know, and I've really shifted my mindset to being like a recovering shopaholic. It's like, I am now like, I don't, I mean, like I, by all means I shop on Amazon for some things time to time, like a quick vacation piece here or there. Yeah, like same. I have really shifted into like, I would rather spend more money on a classic piece that I can style and wear for a couple of years because I'm just so over this fast fashion, like wearing it once or twice. And then
it's like falling apart.
It's like lighting money on fire.
Yeah. Or they're like, oh, it's a dupe. It's the exact same. I'm like, no, it's not. It does not look good. It's not as flattering. The material sucks. The color, like, I'm with you. I think there is this whole movement of just having all these like classic pieces now and that you can wear like one classic trouser pants 17 different ways. Like, why are we buying something new every time? I'm with you.
Yeah. Kind of like that, like we were talking about earlier with that kind of that dark side of fashion blogging and, you know, and it's like, half the time they're not paying for this stuff. They're just making a commission on it, which is fine. Like, I mean, the hustle is real. Right, like I applaud you for that because there is an art to it 100%. But, you know, that's just kind of where my focus has shifted. I just, you know, that's just not me anymore.
I agree. I love it. Well, we could literally talk forever about all the things, but I'm going to let you go.
I'm like so obsessed with all the things.
Yeah. But I'm excited to like keep watching your journey on Instagram and thank you. This talk was so motivational and inspiring. And I love talking about big change because it's going to happen to everyone at one point or another. And it's just how we handle it. So
it is like we all face change. And coming from a nurse that has worked in the ICU and worked with a lot of families who family members, you know, getting them through like those death processes, going through that myself with my dad, or even just like the death of a marriage, like there's all these things, or, you know, or the changes of like kids moving out, there's all of these changes. And we just have to figure out what's the best way to navigate that change within ourselves and with those around us so we can keep moving forward and keep enjoying life, like have fun in life. Like it doesn't, I've learned that I'm way too serious and I need to like lighten up and have a little fun and really, like really engage in that like fun side of myself. Cause I just haven't done it hardly at all my whole life. And now that I'm starting to do that and be a little more lighthearted, I'm like, life is so much more exciting.
Totally. Amen, sister. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
So fun.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed chatting with you and,
I love it. Okay. Bye.